Welcome to another episode of the Jam Pack Report today for January the 5th of 2021. Not 2020. It is now 1 year past that. My name is Samuel Adams, and this is a daily gaming news podcast meant to bring you the hottest news you need to know from around the industry, hosted on YouTube and podcast services around the world 5 days a week. It's your one-stop shop for everything you need to know. So if you enjoy the show and you like what you see, hit that subscribe button and keep coming back for more. Now, today's main piece of news at first seems to just be poking fun at the situation surrounding Cyberpunk 2077, but when you dig into the source material, when you get into the lore, you actually find some pretty big news here. A new post on GameFAQs, which has been allegedly shared by a CDPR employee, reveals the mess behind the development of Cyberpunk 2077. Of course, the game experienced a rough launch late last year that was totally unexpected for fans anticipating the game, especially for those that tried to play it on last-gen consoles at launch. Soon after launch, CD Projekt Red apologized for the game's poor performance on consoles and promised to fix most of the technical issues by the end of February of this year. However, it seems the game's problems are much deeper than some bugs. Recently, a user called JoeBuck80 shared a new post on GameFAQs revealing the messy situation behind the development process of Cyberpunk 2077. Before getting into details, we suggest you take all of the information below, and that I say, with a grain of salt, as nothing has been confirmed officially by CDPR or an authorized member of the company. According to the post, Cyberpunk 2077 was supposed to have a much larger scale than its current status in the case of the story, gameplay, and even world design. In order to be able to launch the game in 2020, top-ranking members of CD Projekt Red have forced the developers to cut a lot of content from the game, even those that were already promised to be delivered in the marketing of the game. These are aside from the content the developers were forced to remove due to touching sensitive topics. Apparently, the top managers at the company and foreign investors intervened in the development process and tried to force their vision over developers' vision in the game design. For example, the post refers to a quest that has been rewritten more than a dozen times so far since one of the high-tier members of the company wasn't feeling it. The quest may finally find its way into the game in the post-launch DLC. Furthermore, the post reveals that Keanu Reeves was not the developer's first choice for playing Johnny Silverhand. Apparently, Silverhand used to have a much crazier and cooler personality than his current state, and the devs were thinking of Cillian Murphy as the voice actor for the role. As JoeBuck80 reveals, Cyberpunk 2077 used to have a longer story, a deeper transportation system, and a detailed wanted system with NCPD, but the devs had to cut the content since they did not have enough time to deal with technical issues of those systems and missions. That being said, it seems Cyberpunk 2077 is supposed to follow the policy that Hello Games followed with No Man's Sky. Apparently, a major part of the cut content will be added to the game until June of 2021, and the support will then continue by launching the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X versions, and finally delivering the multiplayer section of the game. Now, if you do want to dive into the game, of course, it is out now on Xbox and technically PlayStation, even though it's not currently listed on the PlayStation Store, as well as PC and Google Stadia. Now, if you did want to check out the official thread over on GameFAQs, you can find it here from JoeBuck80. So they say this was taken from a thread where supposed CDPR developer was speaking anonymously, and you can really dig into it. Now, I do want to say in regard to the Cillian Murphy thing, I think I'm saying that actor's name correctly. He was not actually being considered for voice acting. It seems right here that it was actually the vision for Johnny Silverhand, a combination of Solid Snake from the first Metal Gear Solid and, believe it or not, Cillian Murphy. So, not the Johnny Silverhand that we got, needless to say. Now, if you do want to read more, again, there's a pretty in-depth post here, but it seems like things are very, very hectic behind the scenes, and the author writes that the development morale is at the bottom of the barrel right now. Essentially, the entire team feels defeated, and understandably so, because essentially, years worth of work down the drain. That's what you're dealing with here with Cyberpunk 2077. And then on top of that, it seems that Sony is roasting our asses. That's a direct quote. Due to the gigantic volume of refund requests, and there was a meeting to disclose some way to compensate players that were asking for refunds, and on top of that, threatening with legal action. So, I wanted to bring this up mainly because of the DLC take here. Because We've been talking a lot about Cyberpunk 2077 DLC over the course of the past couple of days, because CD Projekt Red still plans to roll stuff out, but it seems that, according to this post, maybe the development changed the way that the team is approaching DLC. There could be a much longer tail on Cyberpunk 2077, because instead of adding original content to the original game, they're taking that original content and calling it DLC, and then adding real DLC at a later date. Now, I will say, the writer at DualShockers is not one that I trust personally with wording things properly. So if you heard this at the bottom, the order of events, where it says, apparently a major part of the cut content will be added to the game until June of 2021, and this support will then continue by launching the PlayStation 5 and Series X versions, and then the multiplayer. If that's the order of operations that you actually think is going to come, I personally disagree. I think that what is going to happen is that next-gen version is going to be fast-tracked as soon as these fixes come to the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One versions of the game. The next-gen consoles are here. The game runs better already on next-gen consoles. If you make that version as good as it can be ASAP, you have an opportunity to continue riding any kind of goodwill left in the community. Additionally, they could take another route, and they could put it off for a while, and they could actually take this route that the author says and put out the next-gen version of the game in 2022, even, and see what comes of that. So we will see what happens with the rest of Cyberpunk 2077, but right now it looks like things are on the mend at CD Projekt Red, but still a very rough go of it for that development team. I do feel bad for the devs. Don't feel bad for the execs, but I do feel bad for the devs. Now, Nintendo has acquired Next Level Games. Developer of Luigi's Mansion is now a member of the Nintendo family. Nintendo has entered into an agreement to acquire 100% of the outstanding shares of the Vancouver, Canada-based Next Level Games to make it a wholly owned subsidiary, the company announced. The acquisition is expected to close on March the 1st. Next Level Games has developed a number of a Nintendo title in the past. That was poorly worded. Next Level Games has developed numerous Nintendo titles in the past, there you go, including Super Mario Strikers for GameCube, Mario Strikers Charged and Punch-Out for Wii, Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, and Metroid Prime Federation Force for 3DS, and Luigi's Mansion 3 for Nintendo Switch. Here is the full context of acquisition via Nintendo. Next Level Games is a video game development company based in Vancouver, Canada, which has nearly two decades of experience creating video games for various console platforms. More recently, Next Level Games has worked exclusively with Nintendo in developing software titles for the 3DS and Switch systems, including titles in the critically acclaimed Luigi's Mansion series of video games. Next Level Games shares are currently held entirely by its owner, directors, and employees. A number of owner directors recently determined that the time is right for them to sell their shares, and Next Level Games therefore began exploring potential sale transactions. Completion of the acquisition will serve to secure the availability of Next Level Games development resources for Nintendo, including development expertise, as well as facilitating an anticipated improvement in development speed and quality by enabling closer communication and exchange of staff with the Nintendo development team. The acquisition is expected to close on March 1st, 2021, pending satisfaction of all relevant terms and conditions, including shareholders' approval, regulatory approval under the Investment Canada Act, and other customary closing conditions. So really, congratulations to Nintendo, because Next Level Games has done some pretty impressive work in the past. Of course, Luigi's Mansion 3 is the most recent product from their team, and it was pretty well received. I have not heard too many complaints about Luigi's Mansion 3. I have a couple of friends that play it, and they do enjoy it a lot. On top of that, I will say one that I was not aware of was Super Mario Strikers for GameCube. Used to love that game, and I had no idea that was Next Level Games. So good on them. Congratulations for the acquisition, and it does seem like a good fit. Interesting to see Nintendo pursuing actually purchasing developers, but it is a good move because, again, you kind of want to lock this down, and in a way, this feels like the early route that Sony took. Whenever they started to acquire studios that were already basically making PlayStation franchises exclusively, you might as well pick them up because, hey, it's better to have them always on your team than have what happened with, for instance, the developers behind Hellblade, who all of a sudden are part of the Xbox family, or Bethesda, which is another big story. But that's very different than Next Level Games, so in the context of Nintendo seems like a very good fit, and I'm excited to see what the team pumps out in the next couple of years. If you're into Epic Games, I have some good news for you. They now own a shopping mall. Okay, when most people pop up to the shops, they pick up a few things. When Epic Games goes shopping, it buys its local mall. This week, Epic agreed to purchase the Carytown Center, a 980,000 square foot site just down the road from its current home in Cary, North Carolina. North Carolina, yeet yeet. The vast complex will become Epic's new home campus, which will open in 2024 after a 3-year plan to refurbish and rebuild the area. I'm hoping for some statues of Fortnite, Fave, fish sticks, personally. While Epic will own the site, some of it may still be given over to use by the local community, the company said. Epic moved to Cary in 1999 after initially being founded as Potomac Computer Systems in Tim Sweeney's parents' house in Potomac, Maryland. The company now says it has 50 offices worldwide, which variously run the hugely successful Fortnite, develop Unreal Engine, and operate the Epic Game Store. If you want to take a look at how the largely empty Carytown Center looks currently, there are plenty of pictures over on the strangely interesting Dead Malls Reddit. Of course, very interesting here, but there you have it, the new home for Epic Games. Looks very good. Also, for the record, I love the Dead Malls subreddit. Incredibly cool to see these old malls that are just completely empty and that have not been updated since the 80s. Big fan of that. But when it comes to Epic Games getting into a mall, it really makes sense because the company is just continuing to expand and grow, and why build an entirely new complex when you could just buy an old mall? You might as well. And on top of that, that makes a very unique space. I think that's very interesting, and I'm excited to see what the final product does look like. Now, if you do want to check out the aerial map here, of course, you can find more about that. I'll try and make it as viewable as you can, of course, with my screen crop a little bit difficult. But ultimately, there you have it. If you did want to check out Epic Games' new location, looks like they are right next to a... What is this? Hold on. You got a Baptist State... Outback Steakhouse, ooh, very nice. A Planet Fitness, you can go get some liquor next to the Planet Fitness, very nice. A Dairy Queen, pretty big digs here. Pretty big digs for Epic Games going into their new mall location. What a world. But to round out today's show, I did want to follow up on a story from yesterday. Sony Japan confirms PS4 Pro and all but one PlayStation 4 model have been discontinued. Sony Interactive Entertainment has officially discontinued the PlayStation 4 Pro and all but one model of the original PlayStation 4 in Japan, which is the standard jet black 500GB PlayStation 4 Slim model. All other PS4 consoles will disappear once current stock is sold, the publication reports, and SIE will divert production to PlayStation 5. There is currently no confirmation on whether PS4 Pro will be discontinued in Western markets. However, last month, the official PlayStation US store briefly stated it would no longer offer PlayStation 4 Pro consoles for sale, suggesting that premium last-gen console could be discontinued. Shortly after press coverage highlighted the statement, PlayStation Direct removed the message stating that it no longer planned to stock PS4 Pro in the future, although the console remains unavailable. VGC has contacted PlayStation for a comment and will update when they receive a response, but considering the strong early demand for PlayStation 5 and the company's stated ambition to transition players to next-gen at a scale and pace that we've never delivered on before, it would be unsurprising if it were to begin phasing out the older system in other territories, even if it plans to support it with software for several more years. At $400, PlayStation 4 Pro is the same price as the entry-level PlayStation 5 Digital Edition, which is $100 cheaper than the disc-based PlayStation 5. Of course, Tuesday's news follows reports of a Japanese retailer notifying customers that it would no longer be receiving stock of 5 PlayStation 4 models due to the manufacturer ending production. So there you have it, the confirmation that this is actually the case, and it understandably so should happen. Because while the PlayStation 4 Pro and the PlayStation 4 in their own right are fantastic consoles, the PlayStation 5 needs to be able to be produced at its maximum capacity. You have to be able to, you got to get these consoles out into the marketplace. And so if that means discontinuing a piece of hardware that is the same price and less desirable, that seems like a justifiable choice to make. Now, on top of that, this is really the most sensible way to go about this, because anybody that is getting into gaming now and looking into buying a console, if they are going to be spending the maximum amount of money possible, they are going to be looking at a PlayStation 5. They want the best. They want that premium experience. Those that just want a gaming console, those that just want to get a PlayStation of any kind, they will go for the lowest hanging fruit, and that just so happens to be the $299 PlayStation 4, I think is where that sits at right now, which does make sense. So there you have the lowest possible price for PlayStation gaming. Now, personally, I would recommend the Xbox Series S. Of course, I could be a bit biased there. I'm a big fan of Xbox. But if you did want the next-gen version of what you've got there, the $399 Xbox Series S certainly does seem to be the better deal there. Is it $299, actually? Hold on. Xbox Series S. I think it's $299. Hold on. I got to make sure here. I think it's $299. Get ready for action, storage, all that good stuff. Yeah. Dude, give me a price. Come on. Yeah, $299. I was completely wrong. Yeah, $299. So if you do want to get into next-gen gaming, $299 is the lowest possible price you can go. And I mean, hey, pretty good deal. But this is not an Xbox ad, and I don't get paid by Xbox. So if you do want a PlayStation, by all means, go for it. As long as you're having fun, that's fine by me. But if you do want to get a PS4 Pro, and you happen to be in that region of the world, you better go ahead and dive in on it, because, hey, looks like they are going away very soon. But that rounds out today's episode of the Jam Pack Report. If you enjoyed today's show, drop me a like down below and let me know what you think about everything we talked about here today, but specifically Cyberpunk 2077. What do you think about this DLC plan? What do you think about the story that we heard today, where apparently a lot of content was cut from the game? Do you believe it? And how do you feel about the game going forward? Are you playing it? Have you played it? Will you play it? Would love to hear what you have to say. But until tomorrow, you guys have a fantastic rest of your day. I'll talk to you soon, and peace.